Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Aubrey Lane. I'm the Secretary of Transportation, and welcome to the action agenda for the Commonwealth Transportation Board for the month of June. As we do every meeting, would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Again, welcome. I'm going to go through what we'll be doing today and then explain a few things as to how the agenda will progress this morning. The first thing we're going to do is have public comment. We do have quite a few people who have signed up, and we will continue with that. If that public comment is completed before 10 o'clock, we will then break. The Governor McAuliffe is scheduled to come give remarks to the CTB at 10 o'clock. So if public comment is still going on, we will break to allow the governor to make his comments, and then we'll proceed with that afterwards. If, in fact, we do finish public comment before 10 o'clock, we will break anyway and wait until the governor delivers his remarks before proceeding on with the action items on the agenda. We'll get a 10-minute heads up that the governor's coming. So we will then, if a person is speaking, let them complete and then stop for the governor as he enters to give his speech today. I thought I would take a few minutes. We have some new members on the CTB, and I would review with them and the public our public comment policy because we have quite a few today. This was adopted back in 2005, and so I won't read it all. But a couple of things I'd like to point out. Any member of the public wishing to provide comment must have a sign-up sheet prior to the start of public comment of the business agenda. I have them, but I have the latitude, and if you have not signed up, I would ask you to, but I will all, at the end of those that are signed up, ask if there's anybody else that would like to address the CTB in that. We do ask that you give your name, address, and name of the organization that you are representing because this is a recorded and public session. Individuals should limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes. We do have a maximum of 30 minutes allocated for public comment in any one meeting, although I have the latitude to extend that, and as chairman, it will be my policy to allow everyone to speak. But if we do have a lot, I would ask that you would be brief and to the point as to what your comments are related to the CTB. Individuals represented by a common organization or association may ask to select one individual to speak, but it's not mandatory. If you'd all like to speak, that's great. If you do have a common organization, that is also allowed that you have one representative and the rest stand and let us know how many are in support of that. The public comments made at CTB meetings must be relevant to the board's functions and responsibilities. If you want to have a particular employee complaints, this is not the venue for them. This is a policy board, and we are dealing with the allocation of transportation monies across the Commonwealth. Individuals may also submit written comments to the Secretary of Transportation, and all those comments will be forwarded to CTB members. In fact, we've had some that are in front of the CTB members today that has been gotten out. Carol got many of those out last evening. Speakers shall direct all comments to the board, not to individual CTB members. So you will be addressing us as a whole. I hope this goes without saying, but profane or vulgar language, partisan political statements, and comments related to the performance of a particular individual or agency are not permitted. Our public comment is received by the board without comment or response back. However, a CTB member may ask me for clarification on a specific point, but we will not indulge in a dialogue of one-on-one back and forth from the public comment. And then the chairman has the right to exercise discretion in the implementation of this policy, and I've already said to you that it is our intention to hear all of the speakers that are here today and ask anyone who would like to address the board have the opportunity to do so. So before we proceed, do any of the members here of the CTB have any questions about this policy? Okay, one other thing I may do, many of our, if we do have elected officials, particularly from the state legislature, I would give them courtesy to address first. That's just been the common courtesy that we've done, no matter what the order is. So if I do recognize a member of the legislature, I will allow them to go first. So if there are no other questions or comments from the board, we'll proceed with public comment. And our first speaker is Delegate David Ramadan. Delegate, welcome this morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Happy to be here with you this morning. It only took 2 hours and 15 minutes this morning to come from Northern Virginia. New members, not sure if I should congratulate you or commiserate you. However, either way, this is excellent public service, and I thank you for doing it. Mostly, you're never going to make people happy, yet we all know that this is an important service to the Commonwealth. Today, in particular, I'm here to ask for your indulgence and support on a project in Fairfax County, actually, in the intersection of Pleasant Valley and Braddock Road, commonly known as Cox Farm intersection. This is one of those choke points of Northern Virginia. Anybody who ever drove Western Fairfax on their way to Loudoun or to Prince William or back has gotten stuck on it. Whether you're at 12 o'clock at noon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 p.m., it's a 20 to 25-minute intersection. With unprecedented cooperation between Loudoun County, Fairfax, and yourselves who had voted on this before, this project had moved to the point that it is today on your docket for awarding after bidding the contract. I thank you for funding it. I think it will make an incredible, incredible difference in people's lives in my district. Mr. Secretary, you've been great in helping on this. Your predecessor as well helped on it. And I can't stress enough the importance of this project. I do understand that you have heard from colleagues of mine, good friends of mine, that are not supporting the project. However, I bring to your attention that during public comments, I think 71% out of 700 people that commented from both Fairfax and Loudoun County have supported the project, the residents that they were there. 71% have supported the project. And it currently does have the support of both supervisors, the one on the Loudoun side and the one on the Fairfax side, along with my delegate Jim Lemonian and myself on behalf of our constituents. So thank you again for your service. Thank you for letting me speak this morning. And I urge you to please go ahead and award this project today. It had morphed from a light to a circle, back to a light. I honestly didn't care. I left the engineering and the decision to VDOT to advise what's the best way to do it, and it came down that the best way and the least expensive way to do it is the roundabout, and with that, I think that's the best choice to go. So thank you for awarding this project today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for taking your time. Are there other members of the General Assembly here that would like to speak? Okay, hearing none, we'll continue on with our public comment. And I should also say, if I do not pronounce your name correctly, please, it is not my intention. So just correct me once you get up here. Next, we have Terry Laycock.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Terry Laycock. I'm here from Loudoun County, 1 Harrison Street, Leesburg, Virginia. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors and to urge you to award the design-build contract for improvements at the intersection of Braddock Road and Pleasant Valley Drive in Fairfax County. The intersection of Braddock Road and Pleasant Valley is located 0.7 miles east of Loudoun Fairfax border. The intersection is presently served by a four-way stop sign. Residents of the Dulles South area in Loudoun have come to rely on Braddock Road as a commuting option due to its access to Route 28 and I-66. The 2012 traffic counts for the intersection at Braddock were 7,500 vehicle trips a day, and on Pleasant Valley are 8,500 vehicle trips a day. Backups at the intersection often are in excess of a mile at most times of the day. In May 2012, the Dulles District Supervisor from Loudoun County, Matt Letourneau, brought an item forward to the Loudoun Board regarding the congestion at the intersection, and the board directed county staff to work with VDOT and Fairfax staff to develop a plan and cost estimate to alleviate the congestion problem. Supervisor Letourneau had worked with Delegate Ramadan, Delegate Lemunyan, and Fairfax Supervisor Michael Fry prior to bringing the item forward and had their support. Initially, VDOT provided option of a turn signal, of a traffic signal with turn lanes, and gave us a price, and the Board of Supervisors entered into a cost share agreement with VDOT and put $1 million of our money in Loudoun County, scarce money, toward a project in Fairfax County. Fairfax Board was very excited about that at the time. The roundabout will, VDOT has since determined that a roundabout was the better way to go, more safe and more efficient. And they held a design public hearing on the project on October 9th in Fairfax County and on October 17th in Loudoun County. Significant public support was there for the project. In January 2014, the Fairfax Board voted 7-2 to not oppose the roundabout project, and in March, an RFP was posted by VDOT and price proposals were opened, and the lowest proposal came in at $4.2 million. This required VDOT to allocate additional funds, which were quickly identified from CMAQ funding, and the project is now before you for contract award. As with so many projects, it's had its ups and downs. There are residents who support it and some who don't. The local governing bodies and VDOT have coordinated and agreed to move the project forward. This project will be of such a benefit to Loudoun residents that Loudoun County, again, has taken the unusual position to put its scarce local funding on a project in Fairfax County. If this project is not approved, gridlock will remain, and the design funding spent to date will just go down a rat hole. So we urge the CTB to support the project and keep moving forward to help us resolve the significant traffic problems of our region. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Laycock. Next is Peter Chandler. Welcome, Mr. Chandler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the board. My name is Peter Chandler. I'm representing myself as a citizen of Albemarle County, and also I'm representing my place of employment, which is Chandler's Bakery in Charlottesville. We're located on Route 29 North, very near the intersection of Ryle Road and US 29. Recently, I attended a meeting at the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. And at that meeting, there was a presentation by Mr. Chouquette. The purpose of the meeting was to address the traffic congestion on Route 29 heading into Charlottesville, coming from the north particularly. There are several points of Mr. Chouquette's proposal, which I believe make very, very good sense. He asked that, he recommended that certain roads be extended, a road parallel to 29 called Berkmar Drive, another Hillsdale Drive paralleling 29 heading in the southerly direction. He also recommended that we put in a smart traffic signal system. How it would work, I could not tell you, but yes, I believe that would be a fine thing to do. The final thing on Mr. Chouquette's proposal, however, was a grade-separated intersection at the intersection of Ryle Road and 29. I believe this is a colossal mistake. I do not believe that it is needed, and it is shocking to me that the proposal has reached the state where it's at today without having been scrutinized by third parties. And by that I mean no third party, independent third party, has been addressed or submitted any kind of an analysis. We need an economic impact analysis. We need a traffic impact analysis. I do not believe that these things were done. And I am so fearful that this road construction work will be very, very damaging to small businesses in the area. That intersection is populated by a multitude of small businesses in all directions, north, south, east, and west. But these businesses are going to suffer. I lived through the widening of 9029 in the early 90s, and that was an extremely difficult period. Small businesses were really, really suffering, and they were bleeding. Small businesses bleed when we have traffic jams, and the traffic jams that are going to be caused by this construction will be colossal. These businesses will bleed. They will be hurting. They will be worrying about next week's payroll. They will be bending. And they will go bankrupt, many, as did in 1995. So I urge the board to please look at this situation. Ask the question, why hasn't a traffic study been done? Why hasn't an economic impact analysis been done? These things should be done. And if they are done and they come back in the affirmative for the project, then so be it. Then turn it loose to the public in general. And by the way, the public in general, from my small study and questions of people over a period of the last 2 months, very few people know about it in Albemarle County. Very, very few. I know it's been in the papers. I know it's been on the county website. I know it's been out there. Nonetheless, people do not know about it. And all whom I have spoken to are not in favor of this interchange. They are in favor of doing things to relieve traffic. Yes. And for that, I applaud Mr. Chouquette's initiative. But please, this major part at the Ryle Road juncture, please submit it to scrutiny by a third party, independent, and then make a decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler. Next, we have Jim Plotkin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Plotkin. I'm president of Dumbarton Properties Incorporated. We are the leasing and management agents for the Albemarle Square Shopping Center, which is at the intersection of Ryle Road and Route 29 North. About 15 years ago, we were successful in having a traffic signal installed at the crossover on Route 29 at the shopping center's main entrance. That crossover and the signal were necessary to preserve and ensure safe access and egress to and from the shops in the shopping center. Without it, the shopping center and its merchants stand to lose their lifeblood. The decline in access will lead to declines in sales, which over a sustained period will cause small businesses to close, others to close or relocate. Existing tenants may not renew their leases. Prospective replacements will likely shy away from a shopping center with restricted access. This will cause the loss of hundreds of jobs and pose a definite hardship, not only for the merchants of Albemarle Square, but for hundreds of other businesses up and down Route 29. The study of grade changes at intersections along 29 is no less compelling for the Ryle Road intersection than for the Hydraulic Road intersection. Further, we see no realistic routes to deter traffic or detour traffic during construction. The costs of business failures and the declining real estate tax base, et cetera, are not reflected in the costs estimated and being considered by VDOT. please don't do this with a heavy hand. Let's take a step back and have due process, study the traffic, economic, and other impacts before we do something very expensive that will be irreversible and which may cause more harm than good. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Plotkin. Next, I have Carter Myers. Good morning, Mr. Myers.
Good morning. Mr. Secretary and members of the board, my name is Carter Myers, and I'm a resident of Albemarle and a business owner on Route 29 North. I commend you for your work in putting together a $13 billion transportation package for the Commonwealth. I had the opportunity, like you, to serve on the CTB and know the challenges and complexities you face in making these important investments. It's an intricate balancing act of meeting the needs of the traveling public while at the same time respecting the impacts that these projects have on our citizens, our businesses, and the environment. Cost and benefits also come into play in the selection process. I speak to you today regarding the Route 29 and Rio Road Grade Separated Interchange Project and the Route 29 Hydraulic Road Study Interchange Study. I understand that there will be a thorough study and all relevant impacts, costs, and benefits of these proposed interchanges will be made before going forward with any decision on construction. In 1994 and 95, while I served on the CTB, these same interchange projects were funded for study money and preliminary designs were completed. I still have a copy of these designs. After communications from the City of Charlottesville withdrawing support and a public hearing, the CTB voted 13-1 to drop the projects from the plan. There were over 3,000 communications from the public, with 8-1 being against going forward. That was 20 years ago, and much has changed. That study and design is now obsolete. I appreciate the understanding that the construction of the proposed interchange project will not proceed before carefully weighing all the data that is derived from that study. Construction will be irreversible. People's jobs, people's lives, and people's businesses will be affected. Our local economy will be affected, both during construction and after construction. 3 years of construction on a very difficult project, and maybe more if other interchange projects are added, will weigh a very heavy toll on the travel time of our commuters and on those people traveling through our area. I have confidence that you will consider all of the impacts, the costs, and the benefits before committing to this $80 million plus interchange, which only eliminates three traffic lights of many and one stop with a synchronized light traffic light system. Thank you for taking time to listen and for your service to the Commonwealth.
Thank you, Mr. Myers. Simona Holloway. Good morning, Ms. Holloway.
Good morning, Secretary Lane and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Simona Holloway Warren, and I'm a lifelong resident of Charlottesville. My husband and I have been employed on Route 29 North for over 25 years. I speak to you today regarding the Route 29 and Rio Road Interchange Project, over which I have great concern. I am like many others working in the Route 29 commercial center of our area, and am not unique in this very important retail market that affects our livelihood. My income depends on customers and the level of business that the company I am employed can do, which means easy access to the services that are provided. I have a son in college, and it's difficult with this economy just starting up to come back. And also, like many others, I'm not in a position to have my income reduced for, say, up to 3 years or more if other interchanges are added. 20 years ago, we suffered through a widening project on 29 in this same area. I still remember those difficult times. I do not look forward to this proposed grade separation project, which looks to have a much greater impact on traffic and business than the widening project of the 90s. I hope that after you do a complete study of the proposed project, that you will weigh carefully the benefits, the cost, and the impacts to the many thousands of people like myself that make their living on Route 29 North. Thank you for your time, and I hope you consider my comments.
Thank you very much for appearing today. Tim Hubert.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. For the record, it's Hulbert. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary, honorable members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. I'm a little weak today on my legs, not because of my back, because I only made it through 13 innings last night. But it was joy on SportsCenter this morning. I know some folks in this room have said at several junctures that they're tired of hearing from our chamber and me on these matters. That's a sad state when public advocates are no longer listened to. First of all, let me just say our chamber is here to reaffirm our support for approximately $130 million worth of practical needed public investments in traffic safety and traffic flow in our community. We think you should proceed on those projects. I could list them. I'll only go over them quickly. The synchronized traffic system, additional lane on U.S. 29 north and south from the river north, Hillsdale Drive extension from Ryle to Hydraulic, additional traveling lanes, I always said on north and south, also what you all refer to, I can't stand the expression, the Best Buy ramp. It's not for Best Buy, it's for the rest of us. Construction of Buckmar Drive extension and transit where it makes sense and affordable. Some folks have said there are more than 600 businesses along that corridor, including Mr. Chandler's and Mr. Myers. And those businesses employ thousands of people, people investing, going to work, earning a living, shopping, paying taxes. And we are very concerned, as you might suspect, about the recommended proposals for both Ryle and Hydraulic on Emma Street and Seminole Square, or as we refer to U.S. 29. The Commonwealth and this board may decide to proceed anyway, and we think if you did that, you should do that only after you've completed constructions on the other projects and you've had an opportunity to see and know what the impact is. We think the impacts will be quite good. And if you go forward, the Commonwealth, Albemarle County, the City of Charlottesville, the MPO need to fully fund and employ proven mechanisms. I spent 5 years working for Governor Mario Cuomo in his transportation department, and you can't do just bomb fog. You have to do real stuff. And I think typically there's a lot of sizzle, but not a lot of steak. So please go ahead with the things that we say are doable. Do not go forward with Ryo or Hydraulic, period, but if you do, make sure you know the impact of the other projects first. Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary, and particularly for our member from the Culpeper District, Allison DeTonk.
Mr. Holman, thank you very much. I have Mr. Chandler down, Pete Chandler down again, but I think he's already addressed.
I spoke once.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman. That's
okay, thanks. All right. Diantha McKeel.
Good morning. I'm Diantha McKeel, a member of the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. I appreciate the opportunity to ask for your support of the Route 29 Solutions Package. The recommendations are approved by the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, Charlottesville City Council, and the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Our board recognizes that transportation improvements involve construction and disruption to both residents and businesses. We are committed to working with VDOT and our community throughout each phase of the process to minimize the impacts. After over 25 years, our community is ready to move forward. Please help us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McKeel. Next I have Mr. Philip Schuchat.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Philip Schuchat, and I live in Norfolk, Virginia. Mr. Chairman, members of the CTB, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity you gave me to work with the Route 29 Solutions Advisory Panel. Each of the members brought a high degree of integrity to that process in a very collaborative, open, and deliberate process. You asked us to be transparent. We were. Our meetings were open to the public. They were made available by video conference to other places in the state, Culpeper District and the Fredericksburg District. They were streamed live with over 900 views. They were made available on video and audio podcast by VDOT. I think that as we move from a position of over 30 years of analysis of these projects, it is important going into phase two that we continue a very open and transparent and deliberative process. And I especially appreciate your request of me to remain involved, particularly in respect of convening a project delivery advisory panel. And it's important, I believe, that that panel include affected businesses along Route 29 and at Rio Road, as well as community leaders from the city and from the Board of Supervisors and certainly the MPO. The studies that you've heard are exactly what would be going on if the package is improved. And also, as you ask, I would report back to the CTB on the progress, as well as any needs to make adjustments, should through our studies we find out that there would be need to make adjustments. So I do encourage you to adopt the package as a package of projects, and certainly would echo the request that the next phase be done in a deliberate, open, and transparent fashion. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Schuchat. Next I have Jeff Southern. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Jeff Southern. I'm Executive Vice President of the Virginia Transportation Construction Alliance. We are a trade association that represents 350 companies that plan, design, construct, and maintain Virginia's transportation infrastructure network. And I have no comments to make about Albemarle Charlottesville. But I would like to say this. You have before you today a very important issue, and that is the approval of the six-year program. I think this six-year program should be approved by the CTB today, and I want to commend you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Kilpatrick and the staff at VDOT for having an open, transparent, and very thoughtful process in developing this six-year program. The most important thing, having gone through some tough fights over the passage of House Bill 2313, is that now we have a clear, open, transparent program that shows how we're going to put that money to use for the citizens of the Commonwealth. It benefits our members. They will know what projects to anticipate. It benefits the citizens of the Commonwealth because they know what projects VDOT promises to deliver. So I'd ask that you support the approval of the six-year program today. And again, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Commissioner, thank you all for all the hard work in putting this together. Thank you.
So I thank you for being here today. Next I have Ann Malik.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, Commissioner Kilpatrick, and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Ann Malik. I represent the Whitehall District and the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and I'm here today with a contingent of current and past supervisors and many citizens from Albemarle to thank you for your support of the Route 29 Solutions project in the six-year plan. For decades, elements of this plan have been discussed and researched in the locality and by both MPO and VDOT, discussed in dozens of community meetings, and been on the long-range plan for more than 10 years. Thousands of people have been engaged in studying these elements. At Albemarle County, public hearings in February and in May of this year resulted in great turnout, lots of comment, and the support by resolution of the Board of Supervisors in Albemarle, who directed their representatives, myself and Brad Sheffield, to the MPO of their support for this project. In the VDOT 2007 corridor study has done a thorough examination, among many other studies, of the traffic of the corridor. The planning and design will go forth. I'm thrilled to know from just now from Mr. Chouquette about the Project Delivery Advisory Panel. I think that will be very helpful and a grand idea. Just last week in the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors meeting, we began our own process to do the very best job we can with communication of business folks in every quadrant around Rio Interchange, as well as commuters and residential stakeholders. We know that there is work to do, and we are ready to do it, and we'll work shoulder to shoulder with VDOT to carry this forward. So I encourage you to support our element in the package, and thank you for all of your hard work on our behalf.
Thank you. Mr. Dennis Rooker. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. I'm Dennis Rooker, 45-year resident of Albemarle County. One of the previous members of the Board of Supervisors, Ms. Malik referred to, served on the board for 12 years and on the MPO for 10 years. I want to speak today about the Route 29 plan, which is in your six-year plan. It's not an accident that there are a huge number of businesses along Route 29. Businesses have located there because of the traffic. Traffic is the lifeblood of their success. They would not benefit from directing that traffic elsewhere. What they do benefit from is a lot of traffic which moves well in and around the corridor and around their businesses. If the area becomes regularly congested, over the long term, customers will go elsewhere to avoid that congestion. We have what is perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to move forward with $230 million of transportation improvements that are needed to provide for a smooth flow of traffic along Route 29 now and in the future. The package of projects included in the proposed six-year plan contains virtually every important transportation project which traffic studies performed over many years have demonstrated will best solve the traffic issues in the Route 29 corridor for both through and local traffic. The plan has the support of our community. It is a product of a multi-jurisdictional advisory panel chaired by former Commissioner Philip Chouquette. It has been approved by the Charlottesville City Council, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors, and the area's MPO. At a recent public hearing, the vast majority of speakers supported the plan, including a number of business people. For example, a representative of Eden's company spoke in favor of the plan. That company has invested several hundred million dollars in its Stonefield project, located at the corner of Route 29 and Hydraulic Road. What those speakers recognize is that in the long term, mobility creates value, congestion destroys value. This multi-phase plan will greatly enhance mobility for through and local traffic along Route 29. Please approve Route 29 corridor plan as currently included in your proposed six-year plan. I want to thank Governor McAuliffe, Secretary Lane, Philip Chouquette, and the members of this board for breaking 30 years of stalemate by taking the bull by the horns and getting this done. And I would ask members of the audience who agree with these statements to please stand, because there are some here who will not be speaking. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rooker. Trip Pollard.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the CTP. I'm Trip Pollard, Director of the Land and Community Program for the Southern Environmental Law Center. This six-year program is the first developed by the McAuliffe administration, and it contains a number of positive elements that help address a number of flawed highway proposals that you all inherited from the previous administration. I'd like to focus particularly on the package of recommended alternatives to the now defunct proposed 29 bypass in Charlottesville that is contained in the plan before you. This is particularly significant, and it provides a template for refocusing spending on more efficient and more effective projects. The proposed bypass would cost over $244 million. Federal, state, local officials, and citizens have raised numerous problems with this project. And SELC would like to thank Governor McCauley, Secretary Lane, for convening the Route 29 Advisory Panel to develop alternatives to the bypass. And I was pleased to serve as a member of that panel. The recommended package of solutions former VDOT Commissioner Chouquette ultimately developed is a compromise, but it is a comprehensive and effective package that local officials and the local MPO have endorsed. These projects would significantly improve mobility on Route 29 for years to come for local and for through traffic. In addition, the contribution towards establishing a new train between Lynchburg, Charlottesville, and D.C. from the reallocated bypass funds and additional funding proposed in the six-year plan will build upon the highly successful service currently in this route. We've heard from a number of people with concerns about the Rio and hydraulic interchanges. The effectiveness and necessity of improvements at these two intersections has been demonstrated by numerous studies over the past few decades. There are serious issues that remain in terms of how these are designed and how construction will operate, and we strongly support efforts to minimize any disruption, to greatly involve the public, and to provide transparency. And I'm very glad to hear that Mr. Chouquette has been asked to lead a project delivery panel. In fact, Mr. Myers mentioned a previous design that many people in the community opposed. Actually, we opposed that design, for example. So we want to be sure that this is done right, but we think that it needs to be addressed. I've been working to improve the 29 corridor for about 20 years. This is the most important opportunity to address the most pressing problems in this area. We urge you to adapt this package and to invest in real solutions to the traffic problems on 29. And we also urge the administration and all of you to pursue a similar approach to reallocate funds from other destructive and wasteful highway projects you've inherited and pursue more effective alternatives to the proposed new Route 460, the proposed Bi-County Parkway, and excessive widening of I-81. Finally, SELC supports increased funding for rail, transit, pedestrian, and bicycle projects. Providing these alternatives to driving offers numerous benefits, including promoting economic development, freeing up costly road capacity, helping clean our air, reducing vulnerability to higher gas costs, and better serving needs of a growing and aging population. The plan makes some important progress in these areas, and we support funding for projects such as extending light rail to Virginia Beach, building the Fairfax-Arlington streetcar, and starting Richmond BRT, Bus Rapid Transit. Much more is needed to develop a more balanced transportation program, but this plan is an excellent start. We appreciate your consideration of these comments, ask that you approve this plan, and look forward to further improvements in Virginia's transportation program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pollard. Next, we have Mr. Cord Sterling. Good morning, Mr. Sterling.
Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, thank you for this morning. Mr. Garzinski, you look good in that chair. Not quite as good as the last occupant, but you'll do. My name is Cord Sterling. I'm a member of the Stafford County Board of Supervisors. I'm also a member of the Fredericksburg Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. I'm here today to talk about one project, Route 630 Interchange. This interchange is right there on I-95 in one of the worst congested areas of I-95. Doesn't matter if it's weekends, weekdays, during commuter time, during beach traffic, whatever the time is, you know that that's where you're going to run into some challenges. Basically, between Quantico and where you end up in Thornburg, that area of 95 is a mess. This interchange is essential for the traffic flow on I-95. It is a major point of congestion, the number one interstate project in the MPO plan. Right-of-way is currently being purchased. There's tens of millions of dollars that have been invested by the local community, Stafford County, on related road projects to make this work. The sheriff recently submitted a letter on the not only the traffic, but the public safety problem. This is not just a choke point on 95. It is a choke point on getting between West Stafford and East Stafford. The hospital's on one side. Much of the public safety is on that side, fire and rescue, et cetera. But you have a large amount of the public which lives on the other side. During some of the rush hours, you can't get an ambulance through the road that goes under the current interchange project. That would be addressed as part of this. No wonder it was fully funded in the previous six-year plan. Unfortunately, in the current six-year plan or the draft that was released, some of the money came off. Choices have to be made, and I recognize that.
But this is one of those projects that it is essential to move forward on because it needs to get done, not just for the community, not just for the county, and not just for the region of Fredericksburg, but for the entire Commonwealth, given what this means in terms of transportation flow and given what it means for the country. I-95 is the major north-south corridor on the East Coast. And when it blocks up, Route 1 is not going to address it. We can't divert traffic into these other corridors that may really don't exist based on what the topographical, the military bases and others that are there. So I'm asking you to please find the funds to fully fund the 630 interchange in the final six-year plan. It's important so that we can move forward. The longer it delays, the more expensive and the more difficult it gets, and the more challenges we have on a transportation standpoint. Now, before I finish, enough on that, I do want to part with one final thing. As former member of the CTB, I'd be very remiss if I didn't really thank my colleagues that were on the CTB with me, the secretaries under whom I've served, commissioners. But I want to make a special note to Carol Mathis, who I get choked up at times. Very helpful throughout the process and making sure that basically I didn't lose everything throughout that period of time. And you guys will also find that she is an essential part of this board. I also want to thank Quentin Elliott, now the district commissioner. You know, this central office has a really, really bad habit of stealing the best staff out of Fredericksburg, and I wish you'd stop that on occasion. But you guys did steal Aubrey, you did steal Quentin, but for years, my partner down there in Fredericksburg was very good, very helpful. Commend you for having him here at the central office now. Please don't take any more. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sterling. Matt, just one question. Do you plan to be around for the rest of the action items?
All depends. I'm on metered parking. It turns out also when you lose your CTB spot, you lose your parking. You can arrange with the city police that I'm Toby.
We plan to recognize you and other members. It would be nice if you're here, but if you're not, we'll recognize you anyway. But
I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming down and your service to this board.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That is all the members that are the public that I have signed up. Is there anyone else here who would like to please come up, sir, and address you? If you would state your name and address, that would be great.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Kirk Bowers. I live in Albemarle County. I'm a licensed professional engineer, and today I represent the Virginia chapter of the Sierra Club, the entire state. I'm here to talk about Route 29 in Albemarle County. The Sierra Club and all of our members support the proposed packets of road improvements to speed the flow of traffic on US 29 in Albemarle County, Virginia. We encourage design and construction of grade separated interchanges at Rio Road and at Hydraulic Road. A Rio Road interchange and extensions of Berkmore and Hillsdale Drive are a good first step towards unclogging Albemarle County's main primary road. The Hillsdale project alone takes 12,000 vehicles off of Route 29. Route 29 is the primary route for residential and commercial traffic that begins and ends in northern Albemarle County. Much of the growth in the Route 29 area has been in developments that are directly linked to and used Route 29 as their sole or primary access points, which forces all local traffic onto Route 29, which clogs the regional road. And it makes it more difficult, I might add, for people to access businesses along Route 29. Another major point in favor of the improvement package is that the majority of accidents in Albemarle County occur and take place at the intersections of Hydraulic and Rio Road. The two intersections accounted for 83% of all crashes along that stretch of Route 29. With elimination of the intersections and construction of that grade or grade-separated interchanges at Rio and Hydraulic Road, a major source of accidents would be eliminated. Approximately 75% of all accidents would be eliminated. A number of the projects that are in the package are going to involve disruption to businesses during construction. But once reconstruction is complete, businesses will benefit from the project's improvements. It would be short-sighted not to build the grade-separated interchanges, as the biggest threats to Route 29 in Albemarle County are congestion and deterioration of safety. The proposed improvements plan provides congestion relief and enhances safety along the Route 29 corridor. Thank you for your kind attention this morning, and we appreciate your support on this issue.
Thank you very much. Anyone else who would like to address the board during public comment today? Okay, hearing none, we're going to take approximately a 20 to 25 minute break. We'll go into recess, and then the next will be the governor will address us. I would like to mention to the CTB members, because of the configuration, the governor would like to shake everyone's hand, so we'll probably just when he comes in, I'll introduce him, and Jim, if you'll lead us around to shake his hand, instead of having to make him come all around the table, that's what we'll do. He wants to introduce himself to the new members and all of us as we're here. So we'll stand in recess for about 20, 25 minutes. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well deserved in that. So, Mr. Rozinski,
yes.
We'll continue on. So we
get next resolution is commending Alan L. Lauterbach, who served on the CTB board from 2010 to 2014 as a rural at-large member, having been appointed by Governor McDonald. Before his appointment to the board, Mr. Lauterbach had the privilege of representing the citizens of the 15th District in the House of Delegates for 5 years. And in addition to his political service, Mr. Lauterbach also has been deeply involved in a variety of civic and historical preservation endeavors, including the Shenandoah Valley Battlefields Foundation, the Page County Heritage Association, the Luray Page County Chamber of Commerce. And Mr. Lauterbach's professional background in the public and private sectors as a management analyst, business executive, legislator have provided him with the tools to perform his duties in an exemplary fashion, and Mr. Lauterbach fulfilled his duties with leadership, dedication, forthrightness, commitment, and earning the respect and admiration of his colleagues and the staff at VDOT and the DRPT. And whereas the board wishes to express its appreciation to Mr. Lauterbach for his years of service to the Commonwealth, now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the current board extend to Alan L. Lauterbach their highest direct commendation and appreciation for his years of outstanding service on behalf of the citizens of the Commonwealth, and express their best wishes to him.
I second, Mr. Secretary.
We have a first and a second. Is there any discussion? I, too, would like to add my personal thanks for Mr. Lauterbach's service on behalf of the Commonwealth. All those in favor of this accommodation, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
The next resolution is commending Hollis D. Ellis. Whereas Hollis D. Ellis served on the Commonwealth Transportation Board from 2010 to 2014 as an urban at-large member, having been appointed by Governor McDonald and subsequently reappointed to a second term by Governor McDonald, and Mr. Ellis brought to his tenure on the board a diverse professional background, having lived and worked in the Hampton Roads area, where his employment in the public and private sectors exposed him to a variety of perspectives that would be valuable to him in his later board service. Mr. Ellis's professional training in civil engineering and experience as a business owner made him particularly well qualified to handle the demands imposed by board duties. It allowed him to apply his knowledge to complex, controversial transportation projects and programs, many of which had a statewide impact. Mr. Ellis fulfilled his duties with leadership, dedication, forthrightness, and commitment, earning the respect and admiration of his colleagues and the staff at VDOT and DRPT. The board wishes to express its appreciation to Mr. Ellis for his years of service to the Commonwealth. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the current board extend to Hollis D. Ellis their highest commendation and appreciation for his years of outstanding service on behalf of the citizens of the Commonwealth and express their best wishes to him.
I second, Mr. Chairman. We have a first and a second. Are there any comments? I would also, again, like to express on behalf of the Commonwealth the service of Mr. Ellis.
I have no one to pass my cookie to at once. Hollis Ellis, I used to always say.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kozinski.
Yes, the next resolution is commending Mark J. Peek. Whereas Mark J. Peek served on the Commonwealth Transportation Board from 2010 to 2014, representing the Lynchburg Construction District, having been appointed to serve out an unexpired term on the board by Governor McDonald and subsequently reappointed to a full term by Governor McDonald, his service on the board continued Mr. Peek's record of civic involvement in the city of Lynchburg, where he is a member of the Lynchburg Regional Chamber of Commerce and the City of Lynchburg Youth and Prevention Services Citizens Advisory Board, which gave him ample exposure to the concerns and needs of the community. Mr. Peek put the insights and experience from his civic endeavors and legal training to use in his service on this board, where he advocated for sound, convenient transportation systems for citizens inside and outside his district. Mr. Peek fulfilled his duties with leadership, dedication, forthrightness, and commitment, earning the respect and admiration of his colleagues and the staff at VDOT and DRPT. The board wishes to express its appreciation to Mr. Peek for his years of service to the Commonwealth, and now therefore be it resolved that the members of the current board extend to Mark J. Peek their highest commendation and appreciation for his years of outstanding service on behalf of the citizens of the Lynchburg Construction District and the Commonwealth as a whole, and express their best wishes to him.
I second, Mr. Secretary. Is there any discussion? Ms. Valentine.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like to say that Mark Peek was a very passionate member of this of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. Everything he did, I believe he did in the best interest of the entire Lynchburg District. He has been extremely helpful to me through the transition, and I just would like to offer my my ditto in just thanking him for his service.
Any other comments? I also had sat next to Mr. Peek for a couple of years, and I second what Ms. Valentine said. We're always engaged. Always stood up a little bit because his back hurt him, but he'd walk around anyway. So we thank Mr. Peek for his service to the Commonwealth. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Mr. Kozinski.
Yes, the next recommendation is commending Fran Fisher. Whereas Fran Fisher served on the Commonwealth Transportation Board from 2012 to 2014 as an urban at-large member, having been appointed to serve out an unexpired term on the board by Governor McDonald, Ms. Fisher brought to her board tenure a documented record of achievement, having worked in finance and related fields for over 30 years, culminating in the founding of a business for which she serves as president and CEO. Ms. Fisher also immersed herself in a variety of business and civic endeavors to improve the economic opportunities in the Northern Virginia region. Ms. Fisher has fulfilled her duties with leadership, dedication, forthrightness, and commitment, earning the respect and admiration of her colleagues and the staff at VDOT and DRPT. Whereas the board wishes to express its appreciation to Ms. Fisher for her years of service to the Commonwealth, now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the current board extend to Fran Fisher their highest recommendation and appreciation for years of outstanding service on behalf of the citizens of the Commonwealth and express their best wishes to her.
I second, Mr. Secretary. Is there any other discussion? I would add again that Ms. Fisher did participate a lot in Northern Virginia on the NVTA, I think, working up there. Assisting Mr. Garzinski and the state passes on its appreciation for her contributions to transportation in the Commonwealth. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Mr. Garzinski.
And the final recommendation, commending W. Shepherd Miller III. Whereas W. Shepherd Miller III served on the CTB board from 2010 to 2014 as an urban at-large member, having been appointed by Governor McDonald, and Mr. Miller's strong sense of community, exemplified by his long-standing family ties to the Norfolk area, influenced him to put his talents and background in business and government to use in working to improve the quality of life in that region. In accordance with this belief, and in addition to his board service, Mr. Miller served on a number of organizations, including the Norfolk Redevelopment and Housing Authority, the Hampton Roads Ventures, the Hampton Roads Chamber of Commerce, and the Hampton Roads Economic Development Alliance, whose aim is to promote wider access to good housing, education, and business opportunities. And due in large part to his leadership, these groups have had a significant impact on the Hampton Roads areas, or Hampton Roads area. For example, the Hampton Roads Housing Authority, or the Norfolk Housing Authority, has worked and spent over $200 million in over 20 conservation and redevelopment neighborhoods across the city. Mr. Miller fulfilled his duties with leadership, dedication, forthrightness, and commitment, earning the respect and admiration of his colleagues and staff at VDOT and the Department of Rail and Public Transit. And whereas the board wishes to express its appreciation to Shep for his years of service to the Commonwealth, now therefore be it resolved that the members of the current board extend to W. Shepherd Miller III their highest commendation and appreciation for his years of outstanding service on behalf of the citizens of the Commonwealth and express their best wishes to him.
I second, Mr. Secretary. Is there any comments? Mr. Thompson.
I'd just like to say that all the formal board members mentioned here today went out of their way to welcome me and provide any assistance that they could. I really appreciate the opportunity to work with all of them and thank them for their service to the Commonwealth.
I would add, Mr. Chairman, that the same thoughts, but expressly for the big man, Mr. Miller, who always spoke his mind, who was not afraid to challenge and ask the tough questions. He is missed, and we hope we can take advantage of his consultations on matters in the Tidewater area in the future.
Mr. Garzinski, I would suggest to you whether you like him or not, you're going to take his counsel on the future. Shep is also not only a comrade here, but a good friend, and I'd just like to second everything that people have said about him. He certainly kept things lively, both in formal sessions and outside, as we would travel around. I was reviewing the agenda for this meeting, and I was not sure we would get through the agenda items yesterday in time and have to run over today, but then it occurred to me that Shep was not on the board, and so we were about an hour shorter than we would normally be on that. So he will definitely be missed, and I want to thank him for his heart, a lot of service that he did. Commonwealth is certainly better for his service on this board. So all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, I've just gotten the heads up. The governor will be here in about 8 minutes. Is Mr. Bennett here? Mr. Bennett, we probably have time to do the first action item before the governor does. Oh, excuse me. Before I do that, Mr. Bennett, I need to first of all get the minutes approved from the first meeting.
Motion.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion of the minutes? All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Mr. Bennett.
Yes, sir. Action item number one is a request from the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors to have a section of a frontage road that is no longer used near the intersection of Route 50 and 29 removed from the highway system, and for the department to convey the land over to them to be converted into a trail and landscape area. This is on an existing roadway, so it requires the board approval. The commissioner approves most of these that are results of new projects.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. This is the city of Fairfax, not the county. City.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Motion.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution carries. Thank you. Mr. Page, we got 5 minutes. Maybe we can do one or two of these. If you will, I'll apologize in advance if I say stop, and we'll have the governor come in. So.
Absolutely. I know where the priority lies. Thank you, sir. Let's hope we can get through these for you and get this out of the way. We have 3 action items for you today, Mr. Chairman, brought about by Director Mitchell for recommendation to the board for approval. This board was briefed on these projects over the 30 and 45-day briefing period. The first action item we have before us today is Kermuth Slum and Stone Corporation. That's the Frederick County operation that we had a discussion when I believe we were in the Charlottesville area during that meeting time. This action item requires $1,050,000 to be acted upon and allocated by the board, and there will be $750,000 match by Kermuth Slum and Stone as well in cash to support this project. This project moves forward as part of a $76.1 million investment. Mr. Chairman, I'll put the floor back to you.
Mr. Whitworth?
Mr. Chairman, I would so move this, and maybe at the end of the session of this section, I would like to address the whole issue of rail industrial access, but I make a motion for this.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Noters is abstaining on this vote.
You abstain?
Yeah.
Carol, did you get that? Okay. One abstention. Mr. Page.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Moving to the next item. Item number 3 on your agenda is a rail industrial access item for $450,000 of consideration and allocation by the board today. This project is in King George County. HGAC LLC will be at the end of what's known as the Dahlgren branch of CSX. Of the $450,000, there's $150,000 cash match as well. This is also linked to a $12 million economic investment being made by the company in King George County. Putting the floor back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Connors.
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Resolution carries. Mr. Page.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, thank you. Moving to item number 4 is a rail industrial access project allocation in the Stanton District. This is in Augusta County, known as Railside Industries, LLC. This is also the project that stores a lot of the rock salt for VDOT as well and for winter distribution. Railside Industries is an allocation of $225,000 under the provisions of the program, which is located on the Shenandoah Valley Railroad, one of our short lines we support through the Rail Preservation Fund. There will be no local match because this allocation will be below $300,000.
Mr. Whitworth.
Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, what I wanted to do, and we're moving so fast here, I didn't think we'd have time, but then recognizing my good friend Shep wasn't here to address this subject. But the fact that the Stanton District has had 3 of these in the past year, it has been very faithful. This is a great program, and for the benefit of our new members, I wanted to address some of the purposes and how we approach this and why we approach this.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we vote on this, and
right.
Then we will stop, and then we'll come back and we open up to for that. We'll do so. Is there, we have a second, first and second, any more discussion on this particular issue? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, carries. Okay, we will stop right there. The governor will be due here momentarily, so I would ask you all to just remain seated. And Mr. Whitworth, what we'll do is once we finish with the governor, we'll come back and hear your comments before we move on to the other action items on the agenda. So I'm told he's just a few minutes away, so I think we'll take time. And Mr. Kim, we'll just, after I introduce the governor, we'll go around and reseat ourselves in that regard. And that's it. Anybody know how to sing and dance?
We just have
yes. And I would mention, I think that there's some notes been put out on the Rail Enhancement Fund. Yeah, on that. And so there are. So if you have a chance, I'd ask CTB, look at those before. Yeah, Mr. Whitworth speaks on that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor today to have with us our governor to address to the Commonwealth Transportation Board and express his vision for transportation in the Commonwealth. Governor McCulloch campaigned on two major issues, picking the right projects and being good stewards of taxpayers' money. And it's extraordinary to me, as the chairman of the CTB, to have a governor who is not basing his decisions on political but on empirical data, working with all parties and making sure we pick the projects right here in the Commonwealth. So with that, it's my honor to introduce to you our governor, His Excellency Terry McCulloch. All right, so much.
Let me start off, first of all, good morning, everybody, and I would like to wish our Secretary of Transportation a happy birthday today. Before I begin talking about the plan that is in front of you and about to adopt today, I would like to take this opportunity to first say a couple words about the federal transportation funding issue that's going on today. As you know, Virginia's transportation system is dependent on federal dollars. Without federal funds, over 350 transportation projects in Virginia would come to an abrupt halt just this year. Almost 50 transit operators, mostly in rural Virginia, would shut down. Unfortunately, these federal funds are quickly running out. If Congress does not act soon, the Highway Trust Fund could go bankrupt as early as August of this year. So I do want to take this opportunity to call on Congress to do the responsible thing, to come together, to compromise, and pass a sensible, long-term fix to this shortfall. In 2013, Virginia made some very tough decisions as it relates to our transportation system solvency. I hope the federal government will follow our example and do the same thing. But today, this board will vote to adopt the six-year improvement plan. This program represents an investment of more than $13 billion in Virginia's transportation network, leveraging more than $1 billion in additional local funds through strategic revenue sharing. It is a program that will strengthen our economy and improve the quality of life for all of our citizens. In Hampton Roads, we are widening the 8 most congested parts of I-64. This choke point has long held back the region, and I applaud this first step in fixing it. We are also spending $92 million to bring 2 additional passenger trains from Richmond to Norfolk, relieving pressure on I-64. Along the I-81 corridor, the backbone of much of rural Virginia, we are spending over $150 million to make key safety and repair improvements. These improvements include upgrades to interchanges at Exit 150 north of Roanoke and Exit 14 in Abington. The plan provides $78 million to upgrade Route 220 in Botetourt County, improving safety and the movement of goods. In Northern Virginia, we are taking steps forward to advance the I-66 corridor outside the Beltway. We are also extending the use of shoulders on I-495 at the end of the express lanes, widening Route 7 over the Dulles Toll Road, and improving the Route 28 interchange.
Importantly, the plan maintains Virginia's commitment to maintaining our existing assets. Almost $1 billion is set aside for fixing our aging bridges, including $32 million for the Route 285 bridge over the I-64 in Augusta County. The program also provides $494 million to reconstruct thousands of lane miles of deficient pavements throughout the state. This includes major paving work on 72 lane miles on I-295 in Hopewell and 96 lane miles of I-264 in Virginia Beach. But the adoption of this plan is just the first step in implementing my vision for the state's transportation system. And I would not have been possible without the passage of HB 2313. That bipartisan legislation breathed new life into our transportation system. Passing the bill, as we know, was not easy. It took real political courage to find a solution. And I want to thank those legislators who were key to those negotiations. Great things happen when we work together in compromise. But we all know that new funding is only half the solution to our transportation challenges. New funding must accompany a new way of thinking about transportation. We should not measure progress in terms of how many lane miles we build or how many dollars that we spend. Instead, we need to look objectively at the benefits of what a project will provide. Virginia's long-term growth and economic competitiveness is dependent on building a 21st century workforce and ensuring that our businesses can move their goods efficiently. We owe it to the Virginia taxpayers to ensure that their money is spent only on transportation projects that serve this goal. This year, I was proud to work with the General Assembly to craft legislation that raises the bar on new transportation investments. House Bill 2 creates a transportation investment standard that requires the CTB to evaluate new transportation projects on five essential categories. Number one, how they will relieve congestion. Two, how many jobs they create. Three, how they improve the convenience and efficiency of our transportation network. Four, how they enhance the safety of Virginians. And five, how they preserve Virginia's environment. For each of these criteria, I expect this board to develop quantifiable metrics and to use hard data to determine the impact of new projects. This is a new approach in how we fund transportation in Virginia. Before this bill, there was no consistent standard for new projects. Taxpayer funds were often spent based on outdated assumptions, bureaucratic inertia, and, unfortunately, political favors. That's why this board will use the new standard to identify the best projects, projects that truly make a difference on Virginia's long-term growth and economic competitiveness. The best project may be widening a highway, building a streetcar, or expanding Amtrak. This process needs to take a hard look at old assumptions and break preconceived notions. I don't care whose district a new road is in. I don't care if a project has been on a list for 15 years. If it doesn't meet the standard, it is not going to go forward. And once the top projects have been identified, we will move forward aggressively. As we select these top projects, we must understand that there is no one-size-fits-all solution that works for the different parts of the Commonwealth. That's why this legislation gives you the flexibility to rank these criteria differently in different regions. For example, in Northern Virginia, in Hampton Roads, where commuters are wasting hours and hours stuck in traffic, I expect congestion relief will be a top issue. In rural Virginia, where congestion isn't the biggest problem and jobs are in short supply, I expect economic development and safety to be the top of those lists. Our ability to identify these priorities is only as good as the data that we have. Recent advances in technology and data analysis have revolutionized the way businesses plan for the future. Companies are able to consider thousands of pieces of data to predict trends and inform their strategic decisions. It's time for Virginia's transportation system to catch up. Big data can help us understand travel patterns in ways not possible just a few years ago. Leveraging cutting-edge innovations like these will help ensure that we are making the smartest choices. Finally, HB 2 will greatly improve the transparency of Virginia's transportation planning process. Today, the logic behind which projects get built and which do not can be murky and hard to understand. Decisions are often hidden behind an alphabet soup of acronyms and tangled lines of communication. From year to year, communities do not know where their projects stand on the six-year program. This makes it next to impossible for Virginia citizens to have true input on how transportation monies are actually spent. This has to change. Therefore, once HB 2 is fully implemented, Virginians will have access to a website that clearly indicates which projects were evaluated and what score they received. In this way, legislators, stakeholders, and citizens will be able to hold policymakers accountable for their actions. Transparency and engagement must be the key elements now on all transportation decisions, not just those in the HB2 process. Our network of roads, rail lines, bridges, and tunnels represent billions of dollars of public dollars. This network has the power to change the face of our communities dramatically and permanently. We cannot build and maintain this network with backroom deals and midnight votes. US 460 is a perfect example of wasted taxpayer dollars on a road that was rushed for political purposes. Taxpaying Virginians should be outraged that they are now on the hook for $300 million for a road where not a single shovel has gone in the ground and the right paperwork was not even filed. That's why I expect my administration to go out of the way to make sure that they are soliciting meaningful input from local leaders and citizens. In crafting the plan that you have adopted today and are about to, Secretary Lane personally heard over 160 speakers from each of our 9 construction districts. In response to their concerns, 15 projects were added or advanced in the new plan. And while Virginians may not always agree with our decision, they will always, folks, know how our decision was made. The work of the US 29 Charlottesville Advisory Panel is a prime example of this commitment. For over 30 years, improvements to the 29 corridor through Charlottesville were stalled. The stalemate over the bypass was unproductive, and it left citizens in the dark as to the future of their community. When the federal government sent my administration a letter saying that the project would not move forward, I decided that we had to resolve the issue now. And I decided that we had to resolve it out in the open, where everyone would get a chance to speak and hear the other side. So we created the US 29 Charlottesville Advisory Panel, which included representatives of local government, chambers of commerce, and the environmental community. Every affected group was invited to participate in these deliberations. Their meetings were held in public and were live streamed on our website. After months of this open and transparent debate, the panel arrived at a series of compromise recommendations. Like any true compromise, no one gets everything that they want. But without a doubt, the projects listed in the panel's report represent the most cost-effective use of taxpayer funds. This $203 million package will be the first major improvement along this corridor in decades. Today, this board will vote to adopt those recommendations. Contracts will start to go out the door by the end of this calendar year. And by 2015 at the latest, we will begin turning dirt on this key stretch of US 29. One of their recommendations was to put a down payment of $5 million on a second train to Lynchburg. Well, today, I am proud to announce that this program will fully fund the second Lynchburg train. In 2009, when the first train ran from D.C. to Lynchburg, it was the local business community that celebrated. They celebrated because they knew that this new service would provide a convenient, congestion-free connection between the region's business and employment hubs all across the country. Today, this rail link is a central part of the region's business recruitment and job creation strategy. In fact, there are now more than twice as many riders on this train than originally predicted. And it is one of the few profitable Amtrak routes in the nation. This train is a great example of why we must ensure that rail and public transit alternatives are considered equally, along with highway projects. These diverse modes of transportation give Virginians more travel options, take cars off the roads and trucks, and reduces congestion. They also spur the type of community development that attracts the workforce of the 21st century. Demographic and market studies consistently show that workers in the 21st century economy prefer walkable communities that are served by rail and public transit as well as roads. And if we want to cultivate this workforce, which we need to do, we need to get ahead of these trends. We need a transportation system where our workers have the option to drive, walk, or ride to get to and from their jobs. A key component of this system is passenger rail from Richmond to Washington. Train service in this corridor is crucial to connecting our Commonwealth with businesses and jobs in the Northeast. Today, that is not a convenient ride. It can take 3, 4, 5, or 6 hours today. That is unacceptable. So my director of the DRPT, Jennifer Mitchell, is working on a plan to leverage our new rail funds to start improvements along this corridor during my administration. We are also working on expanding Hampton Roads public transit options. Earlier this year, Secretary Lane worked with the Virginia Beach to reach a consensus to expand the Tide light rail into their city, something I promised when I ran for governor. The opportunity that we could open up this entire community to go from Norfolk to Virginia Beach, and at some point expand it all the way to the Naval Base to help those young men in uniform who want to get to the beach on the weekends. This is what we have to do, and this is what is your responsibility. But that agreement represents the first step towards creating a meaningful regional transit system in Hampton Roads, which I know everybody in this room understands we desperately need. Norfolk has already seen significant benefits from the Tide, more than $800 million in new development. With figures like that, it's no surprise that Norfolk's neighbors are now moving to extend the system. In fact, just last week, Chesapeake indicated that it was now interested in seeing the system expanded to their city as well. Projects like this are an important reminder of why this board must always be asking the tough questions and challenging long-held assumptions. As CTB members, you are not rubber stamps. You are responsible for looking at every aspect of the way we craft our transportation policy. I am holding you accountable for that. If the way we are doing business right now doesn't make sense, I want you to scrap it. It's your responsibility to allocate Virginia's transportation dollars. It's not VDOT's responsibility. It's not DRPT's responsibility. It is your responsibility. These funds should be focused on improving the ability of Virginia businesses to move goods, attracting more jobs to the Commonwealth, and improving the quality of life for all Virginians. We have a fantastic opportunity in front of us. With new funding, a new way of thinking, and a new culture of transparency and engagement, we now have the chance to build a transportation system that makes a real difference in the lives of Virginians. We can build a transportation system that lays the foundation for long-term economic growth and cements our competitive advantage in this 21st century economy. I thank you for all serving, and I look forward to working with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Governor. Give us some marching orders going forward here. I would like to, in follow-up to that, just quickly before we continue our action items, in the July meeting, we will be working on, taking from his speech, putting together the committees and the things that we put in place to deliver this. So enjoy the next month, because come July, we're going to have a different committee set up, and we'll be working towards working with our deputies and moving forward with the planning, the different things that needs to be done to get House Bill 2 and following up on the governor's speech. So I think it's extraordinary. I can't remember. I was talking to Carol. I can't remember a governor ever coming before the CTB and expressing his vision. So we know what we're working on and how we move forward. And I'll just reiterate, again, he said, we're not a rubber stamp. I mean, we are to make the hard decisions and do what's right for the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so that's what we'll be doing as a board. So appreciate the governor coming by. And with that, we'll move on to our action items. And Mr. Whitworth, you are going to make a few comments regarding enhancement funds for rail.
Yes, Mr. Secretary, thank you. The governor kind of set me up real well on this. You recall back 2 months ago, there was considerable discussion over the Industrial Rail Access Fund, more specifically as it applied to the application with regard to the CARMUS application that we just approved today. And it occurred to me that there probably had been a misunderstanding as to the purpose of this fund. And since the Stanton District has had three such applications during the course of the year, I thought it would be helpful, especially to the new members, to understand the background, the purpose, and the utilization of this fund and how it has been used with great effect. The sheet that was before you has a key sentence in there, and it says, it talks about the purpose of the fund. The program is to achieve public benefit by diverting truck traffic to the rail network. And that ties right in with the governor's comment where he said that rail and public transit alternatives are considered equally alongside highway projects. This also talks about the quantifiable way with which our DRPP reviews and recommends, and that quantifiable is right in keeping with what the governor says what we need to do. And so what I would say to you is that take CARMUS, for example. There was a feeling that because CARMUS was a large international company, second largest in the world in their business, that the Commonwealth should not be assisting in any rail access here because they could afford to do it. But the fact of the matter is, the program doesn't talk in terms of that. It talks in terms of what is the benefit to encourage this investment by a large company or a small company. And in the CARMUS situation, I would simply advise you that the commitment made by CARMUS was a commitment to remove to increase actually the number of train carloads by 8,750 rail carloads, which is a tremendous increase of rail, removing trucks off of our roads. And in this case, it is essentially a great benefit to our institutions. And the investment, while the investment was $1 million, the total investment was $76 million by the company. So on a percentage basis, it was a very small incentive, but it was a meaningful incentive for CARMUS to do this. And because of that, we are benefiting with a great economic benefit to our region. Our region alone is going to have an additional employment of some 26 jobs. We're going to have a taxable revenue increase from 14 million to 26 million, and it goes on and on. The point then is, it's an economic benefit. It's a win-win, and it's not just the fact that the corporation wasn't able to afford it, but this was an incentive to make them come to that decision, which they did. And so I would just share that with you and encourage us to, in our own respective regions, keep this program in mind. It is money available, and we're not using it all. And it is federal money available that we ought to make sure that our public knows that.
Just one general comment on that. It really gets to the heart of what we are. We are a policy board charged with allocating. This is a program set up by the General Assembly for a specific purpose. So I view if a program is in compliance and meets the criteria, the rankings, it should be considered and approved. It was the General Assembly who set these monies aside and went along with the federal program, and therefore whether we like the program or not should be little choice. Our deal is to make sure we're allocating and using those monies. And so besides, I think it is a good program, but even besides that, I just point out from what we are charged with, that's what we have been asked to do. So.
And while the cap is normally $450, you may ask, well, how did we get to $1 million? It got to $1 million because there's also provision that if we haven't used up the funds, 50% of that allocation will go to the project.
Right, right, right.
Mr. Secretary?
Yes.
If I could make one other point on that, it's often said, and I think this piece also says, we don't think about it, but the public benefit is diversion of truck traffic. That's not the purpose, though. If we look at the award point system, there's no points awarded for diverting truck traffic. It's for new car traffic. And I think that's important because I don't think we want to get into the business of picking and choosing winners and losers.
Okay. If there's no more comments on that, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is really the heart of our action items beginning, and that is Mr. Rule talking about the different programs that she administers. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
It is still morning, yes, it is.
Members of the board, I briefed you on a number of special local programs yesterday, and I'm going to bring those items to you for action now. Item number 5 is action on the fiscal year 2015 revenue sharing program. This is the 50-50 match program, and we provide $180 million in state matching funds to be matched with $180 million in local funds, and we recommend your approval.
Is there?
So
moved. Second. Is there, we have first, second, any discussion on this item? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries. Mr. Kroll.
Item 6 is action on approval of the fiscal year 2015 Transportation Alternatives Programs project. The list is attached in your briefing packet. It's a total of $20 million. That's $18.8 million in fiscal year 15 money and some monies that some of the MPOs carried over from the last fiscal year. We recommend your approval.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to remind Mr. Brewer of our commitment to make sure that the senators and delegates are contacted on all these programs and where the money's going.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries.
Item 7 is...
Okay. One off your list.
Item 7 is action on payments to cities and towns for maintenance. That's $347.7 million. The action before you today is to approve the allocation of those funds and the inventory changes that go along with them, and we recommend your approval.
So moved.
Second.
So moved in a second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Item 8 is action on Arlington and Henrico County maintenance payments for fiscal year 2015. It's a total of $62 million in approval of inventory changes for Henrico County, and we recommend your approval.
Motion. Second.
Motion's first and second. Is there any discussion?
Discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Krasinski.
I would remind all of our CTB members that, as we stated yesterday, there was a task force, and I'm on Henrico and Arlington, and I'm sure Mr. Brule can make the minutes of that task force available for all of you who weren't here for that discussion, and also remind you that this is by statute, right? So any changes, when it's debated all the time, has to go back to the legislature.
Mr. Chairman, may I will you remind me when that statute was put in place?
In the 80s?
That was the piece
that you looked at. Maybe it was changed, but it started out in the 30s.
It started out in the 30s. It was revised in the 50s. It was revised again in the 80s. And then this particular one for Arlington and Henrico was revised last year to reestablish base rates.
Any more discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Item 9, last month I briefed you on a proposal to establish a primary extension improvement program that resulted from House Bill 1048 and Senate Bill 518. What's before you today is a policy that would establish that program as presented, which we would move forward to accept applications, which we would bring to you in a briefing in October for tentative allocations and approval in November. We recommend your approval.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Last one for me. Item 10 is action on a high-volume unpaid road program policy. Again, this was presented last month. The resolution before you is a policy to establish a high-volume unpaid road program, which we would move forward seeking applications, bring tentative allocations to you in October, and bring the actual allocations to you for approval in November. We recommend your approval.
Move approval.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Brule, thank you very much. Ms. Mitchell. Good morning.
Good morning. I have one item for you on the action on the 2014 through 19 6-year improvement program transfers for April 26th through May 23rd. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? I'd like to make one point in here. The improvements that we talked about on Route 29 are embedded in this. In this here. I'm sorry, this is transfer. Excuse me.
Transfer, excuse me.
Come back. Any other discussion? Yeah. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Got which year we were in. Thank you. Okay, now we get into the budget next year. Sorry. Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. Mr. Lawson.
I come forward today to seek your action, your approval on the Commonwealth Transportation Fund budget. And the VDOT budget and the DRPT budget as presented to you yesterday. Do you have any questions for each of us?
Now, are we proposing to take as one motion to collect all three budgets as one? Okay. So moved. Second. Second. Any discussion on the budgets? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Here we go, Mr. Kilpatrick. And Ms. Mitchell. This is your program.
All right. You want to split it?
Let's see here. Action on 6-year. Yeah, you're up, right? 6-year approval program. There's any questions? Next item on the agenda is the 6-year improvement program.
Yes, sir. And again, this is the adoption of the 6-year improvement program as presented yesterday to you by Director Mitchell and myself. And We ask for a motion to approve the program.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Krasinski.
Yes, I'd like to note for the record that, as you stated many times, this is a living, breathing document, and that we continue to explore the possibility for that 630 interchange on 95, because I truly believe it's a major block right now, and hopefully we can, as we work through the year, maybe with the commissioner, we can find a way to get some of those dollars back into the program.
I understand. Mr. Williams.
Mr. Chairman, while it's after speaking with the attorneys that represent the board members, it's clear that I can free to vote on the six-year plan as a whole, but in light of just self-disclosure, I do represent a client that is an integral part of the 460 project. So there are allocations made here in the budget, but they don't specifically benefit the client that I represent. So I've been told that I'm clear to vote for the entire budget, but I do want to disclose that.
Thank you, Ms. Williams. Ms. Valentine.
Mr. Chairman, would this be the appropriate time that we could speak to anything that's in the approved?
It would be, yes.
Thank you. When I was first asked to join the CTB, the 29 Solutions Advisory Panel had already been convened. The work was concluding. The recommendations were coming forward. And I knew that this would be one of my very first votes. So I said no. No, what I really said was to Secretary Lane that the only way that I could accept this position is if I could continue to work on a long-term solution and making sure that every short-term solution would move forward in the appropriate manner. And Secretary Lane's response to me was that that was indeed the case, and that was his expectation of me, that the proposal that came forward from the advisory panel was a first step. It was a first step to address the lack of mobility, the congestion, the safety concerns that have been in the making for more than 30 years. And as I have been speaking to representatives in Lynchburg and from the entire Lynchburg district, and in particular particularly those who served on the task force, who I believe really genuinely was putting forward what they believe was the right recommendations. They strongly, in case you hadn't read the papers, recommended a bypass. And even with that, in my conversations with all of those individuals, while not unanimous, the consensus is doing nothing is no longer an option. While there is no doubt that there is disappointment on the part of many people who've invested a great deal of time and energy, they also recognize that it is very important as we move forward that we continue to evaluate the impact of every decision, which is I was very pleased that we are going to be continuing evaluating and monitoring the progress and how this is all managed. The significance of asset management, particularly along the Burkmark extension. The importance, and if I may, I think plagiarize a word from the report, to conduct the work at the Ryer Road interchange flawlessly, because of many of the concerns that were raised here today by the business community and for those who actually have to move through Charlottesville, so that at some point, perhaps, the hydraulic interchange would also be a part of the solution. The decisions that we are making here today on the 29 program affects not only two cities or two districts, it affects every community along the 29 corridor, and for most of those communities, 29 is the lifeblood. And so it is with that that I believe what we are all doing today is making sure that we understand that we need to do this right. And from my perspective, I would want to be a part of making sure that happens.
Ms. Valentine. Mr. Thomas?
I'd like to add, I agree with Common. I think it is critical that we
strongly believe that the parallel road system needs to be constructed first before anything is done on the corridor, because it's going to be critical that local traffic and through traffic have a place to go during this construction period of time. If not, it's going to be disastrous for everybody. So I just hope that the project delivery advisory panel takes extraordinary care to make sure that it is executed flawlessly.
I'm assuming this is the right time to ask that question, but I'm curious, even if we know at this point in time, how HB2 impacts this plan in the out years.
These projects would be moving forward in terms of what we've outlined today, citizen involvement. To the extent any additional projects are done, to the extent any project would fall out, it would fall under House Bill 2. It gives us time to work these projects in.
So these existing projects will...
That's correct.
Yeah.
For the entire program. This was monies that was on a project that was failed. We did not want to move them out of the quarter because of what Ms. Valentine's alluded to. We've several speakers. It's been 35 years with no action on that stuff. Mr. Whitworth.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but is the $203 million that the governor made reference to, is that the number that now is in our...
It's actually $230 million because additional monies were put to fully fund the second train. So $230 million, that is in there. That number was before, and we put, working with Ms. Mitchell and others, Mr. Kilpatrick, in looking at ways to fully fund that. It was noted by some that, you know, gosh, it's nice to put a little bit on it, but we wanted to show the commitment that we were committed to addressing through traffic, not just congestion in the area in that regard. Mr. Right?
To use that last point as a segue about the train, I was glad to see, and I mentioned briefly yesterday, that this particular plan includes hopefully a real step toward incorporating transit into our planning going forward, and I was glad to see the governor reference that, because I think there's a lot more that we can do as far as using transit, which means obviously rail, trains, buses, whatever, in different parts of the Commonwealth. And a lot of times when people think of transit, they only think of Northern Virginia and Hampton Roads, but there are needs across the Commonwealth where we have to have alternatives, because we can't build enough roads to address all these issues. And so I'm glad to see the various proposals in there as it relates to light rail in Hampton Roads area going out to Virginia Beach, also the Arlington streetcar project, which I know is still a work in progress, and we've had some discussions about that. And I've talked to some people in Arlington, and they're more than happy to work with CTB and the members who in that area to let them see what that project's all about and the benefit it would bring to that area. But the main point is it's a commitment to transit, and I hope that as we go forward and as you restructure things, that will be an equal component of what we do going forward with this board.
Just wanted to mention a couple of general things to Mr. Kaczynski's point. This is a roadmap, and I expect as we go along, if there are changes, that we will need to do so, possibly because of House Bill 2. We made it clear in every public hearing as we go through that, changes in that. It's any project looking through as we make the best decisions. Getting public input will be critical to that. The second thing I would like to mention in particular to the Route 29 project, that package. At the last meeting, I had said that we would consider a separate resolution. But since then, both the cities of Charlottesville, County of Albemarle have endorsed it along with the MPO in that area. So they have taken the action necessary for us to move this forward, and that's why it's included with the other projects in the six-year plan instead of having come another action on that in that regard. So I want to make that clear. I know the CTB understands it, but to the public as to how we're moving this way. Any other comments on this six-year plan? Yes, Mr. Cole.
Mr. Secretary, regarding 460, what is the total amount in the six-year plan, and when do we expect we might have a conclusion on a decision about alternatives?
What's left in the six-year plan, I believe, is around, these are round numbers, around $400 million in that regard. Where's John Lawson? It's a little, because I know there's some at the, you know the exact that's left in there, John?
Mr. Secretary, in the program, the full $1.39
is in there. We spent some.
Correct, but the full funding for the project is there.
Is it there?
Extending outward to, I think, to 2019, I believe.
Yeah, but but part of it's funded by bonds, part of it's by the port, so there's real dollars still left committed by the state that's in there. Those monies are there. We hope, as you saw the announcement yesterday, that the Army Corps and Federal Highways and VDOT have reached agreement on the different alternatives, four alternatives, going forward. They will be now going out to public comment. We're hoping to have the preferred alignment, at least a good indication by the end of this year. It may not be totally done, but hopefully by the end of this year. And at that point, we will then come back to the CTB and obviously to the governor and say, here is what our permit is. Here is the option. We will have to then look again at how that impacts the current funding we have. And we'll look to this board and working with the governor as to action forward. So it's in there now, partially because we're obligated by contract. We're also obligated with some, we have bonds that are outstanding related to that contract, not direct responsibilities of the state, but certainly impacted to the extent of what happened. So it will probably be towards the end of this year, Mr. Cole.
Would the commissioner be willing to venture a guess as to what the range of costs are on the alternatives from high to low?
I would be foolish to do that. I think that again, that we are working through the process with Federal Highway Administration, the Corps of Engineers, to determine an appropriate alignment and project scope and scale that is permittable. So until we do that, I think it's just premature for me to venture frankly, it would be a guess as to what we're going to deliver.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, it's been motioned and seconded. All those in favor of the six-year plan, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Next up, we have the bids. And we have Mr.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary, Mr. Commissioner, members of the board. In May, the department took in bids on 19 projects valued at about $20 million. There's one project put before you today that requires CTB action. That is the roundabout at Braddock Road and Pleasant Valley Road. The department has analyzed the offer, has found that it represents good value for the Commonwealth at $4.2 million. And we're asking for the award of this project.
Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Krasinski.
As we've heard Delegate Ramadan's testimony in the public section of our public comment period, this is a project that has been analyzed and debated in Northern Virginia for at least 10 to 15 years. And it's been vetted in public meetings, and I emphasize that of the 700 plus responses, it was a 71% for the roundabout. And that was pretty overwhelming, as well as the fact that both the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors and the Fairfax County Board of Supervisors by resolution were in favor of this solution. So in concert with my at-large members from Northern Virginia, given those facts of public participation and endorsement by local governments, and being knowledgeable of the fact that even though Delegate Hugo, and I do want to mention that Delegate Hugo did write a letter to all of us that we received today who was in opposition, and in response to some of his concerns, it still to me is overwhelming that
given the enthusiastic support of the fact that despite Delegate Hugo saying that maybe if we wait till 50 is done, seeing if this road can maybe be postponed, this is an east-west, north-south connection road. The coming from the west to the this intersection, you have many subdivisions and communities on Braddock Road from the west of the intersection that are still going to continue to use this intersection. You have people transiting from north to south or south to north to avoid going on 28 who are still going to use this intersection. And for lack of a more improved means of transporting vehicles north-south, which is still, as you know, in debate with our Bi-County Parkway, this road is going to continue to have the type of vehicle usage, the 75 to 8500 every day with the mile backups all the time, that using what was already used today, doing nothing here is not the alternative. And this is the solution right now that I think is most effective. And so I would urge all of my fellow members to endorse this bid, this award.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Dykes.
I just want to echo what Gary said, because Scott and I had a chance to get a pretty in-depth briefing on this from the district administrator. And they did look at all the alternatives, and we were able to kind of eyeball how this would actually play out. And I just wanted to support you. I realize there's opposition on both sides, but I think this is the best solution, most cost-effective way, and it moves the ball forward. So I would urge our colleagues, once again, as Gary said, to support this.
Mr. Chairman, I want to add my comments supporting the proposed solution as well, and add that this solution has the least impact on wetlands and the least impact on additional wildlife requirements for the
Just to comment, it is a design build, so therefore it will have the safeguards in until we get all the permits. We will not begin instruction, but of course we will begin forward doing the work necessary. But just want to reiterate that the safeguards will be in place to make sure construction does not start until all the permits are received. Following up Mr. Caprice's point in that regard. Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. So I thank you very much. Delegate, thank you for attending today. Is there any other new business to become before the board? We've done the combinations. Any other new business? Mr. Kilpatrick.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the staff at VDOT as well as DRPT in putting together the six-year plan, both here in Richmond and throughout the state. A lot of hard work. It's about as complicated a program as you could imagine, with the thousands of projects and balancing them throughout the Commonwealth. I wanted to especially recognize Diane Mitchell, who's the director of our programming division, and Kimberly Pryor, who worked with her throughout the process, but there have been dozens and dozens of other people. So again, thank you. We look forward to delivering this plan.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ms. Pryor and Ms. Mitchell, for all the hard work and everybody else that supported it. The next meeting is here in Richmond again. One day, as I said before, we'll be getting down to the hard work. We've already started assignments with, on the P3 process. That's working. Other working groups will be assigned next week. Everyone in here is going to be assigned to one. We've got a lot to accomplish. I look forward to working with you. I think, as the governor mentioned, we have a great opportunity to really institutionalize in a good way transportation delivery. In addition to making the objective, look, everyone understands there's still going to be politics involved. It just is, because it's really about how we help people. But it should help both VDOT and DRPT have a program that's lined up that they can depend on as they move forward's project. So in addition to, it's the right thing to do, it really will help these organizations as they deliver projects across the Commonwealth, hopefully make them more efficient as we go forward. So got a lot of work to do, a lot of changes. As I said, I'm sure we won't get it exactly right the first time. That's why we'll go through and make sure we'll be willing to listen and change. And I'm sure it's going to be awful loud as we go through and solicit input. But that's the way this works, and I appreciate everyone's willingness to serve. And as Ms. Valentine knows, I have doubled your pay. You now get double zero for all the time that you spend. But I appreciate work and look forward to working with you. So if there's nothing else to come before the board, then we are adjourned, and thank you very much.